Richard B. Cheney swears that Pat lay in public like so much hot air. Insists he and Bush care, waits for the weapons, still thinks Iraq was a threat to the U.S. homeland. I can't understand all the Bush appointees. Where do they all come from? All the angry people, where do they all belong? Rabbit and Coulter, writing the words to a book that reflects a strange fear. Who would come near, look at her whining, blaming opponents and damning up dubious foe? Is it for show, all the right-wing parrots? Where do they all come from? All the angry people, where do they all belong? Look at all the angry people. Look at all the angry people. Ambassador Bolton hates the UN, but now he is a part of it all. He's got some gall, Bush the divider, renominates right-wing judges, no change in his tone. And he's not alone, all the angry people, where do they all come from? All the angry people, where do they all belong?
All right, we are back on the Andy Finn Show, and that was Angry People, words by yours truly, and vocals and production by John Clark, a good friend who's a regular guest on the show. So let me move on to a very strange phenomenon that's going on in Washington, and it's how Washington handles science. Now, Washington's never been real good at this. That is policy. Science doesn't translate really well into policy a lot of times. It's not a great fit because for policy, people want to be certain and they want to have absolute certainty about things. And science can't really give you that usually. That's, you know, they know 99 point whatever percent they know, and depending on the level of the science. So enter Al Gore this week last week to Washington. He appeared in front of a congressional committee. And what's interesting about what's going on with Gore is that the argument over global warming, you know, Gore is one of the people that says the science is settled. And that's been said a number of times recently, including most recently in the last 6 to 9 months when this latest report came out, a report from a couple hundred scientists representing a variety of organizations, et cetera. And the UN's scientists are behind this, and most U.S. organizations of scientists that have taken a stand. Some of them may not have taken a stand, but the point is the evidence in the scientific community is really accumulated over the years. Now, when that happens, you don't hear discussions of the evidence per se. What you hear is criticisms of the whole structure of science, even though the people that are criticizing it don't understand it. So you get Senator James Inhofe, the leading global warming denier in the Senate. And he's not just a denier. And by the way, if you haven't caught on to this or noticed it, when you're listening to Fox News and you're listening to conservative talk, they don't refer to global warming supporters or global warming scientists as believers or as – they call them alarmists. And so this language has been circulated in conservative/Republican talking points apparently because everybody since Fox News started it – I don't know if they started it, but they were using the term not that long ago in an hour-long piece of homage they did to industry – questioning global warming, they kept referring. In fact, they never referred to the scientific community as anything but alarmists. Now, keep in mind, this is 99.9% of the scientists that have any bearing in this area, that their science would have any bearing on global warming. 99.9 agree with the consensus that has developed out of thousands upon thousands of research studies. Let's back up a minute and talk about science before we talk about why Al Gore has been made the whipping boy here. So let's make sure that people understand the science is clear, because you still hear people trotting this out. And the latest argument, and this comes from Sean Hannity, is he's got the names of 100 scientists now on his website that are stepping back from their previous stance on global warming, implying that the consensus is evaporating or something. In fact, I haven't looked at these cases because I know if there was a change in the consensus, it would be reported in the literature and then it'd be picked up by science columns. That's how most consumers should get their news about science. When you get it directly from a fount of ignorance, you aren't really going to know what the science says. So what the science apparently says, because I don't read these journal articles, but what the science apparently says is that from lines of literature from multiple fields have been piled up, and it indicates that we got a problem and that global warming is happening at a faster rate than it has in any time they've been able to measure, and that a percentage of it is man-made. They're certain now, 90% certain, that a significant percentage is man-made, meaning we can do something about the problem. What I think is interesting about the reaction against that. Now, keep in mind, that science could be wrong. We got 99.9% agreement, but it could be wrong. And science is always willing to admit that. If new data comes out, it'll revamp its position. So what happens is a new study comes out every so often, like every few hours, every few days, whatever. And what happens is the people that read about these studies then take a stand. So in the case of maybe one of these names that Sean Hannity has on his website, somebody at the Max Planck Institute, and I just saw that name flash up there. I don't know who the scientist is and what his shift really is. But what I'm guessing is he doesn't agree with another scientist on some piece of their interpretation. And so Sean Hannity's taken that to say, and he is stepping back from his belief that global warming is man-made, or however far Hannity wants to take it. I suspect that's not at all what the scientist is doing, but I don't know for sure. In any case, even if he's got 100 scientists that are rethinking it, I'm talking about thousands of scientists. It's not even close. And what's interesting about the way debate has evolved on the cable network shows is people tend to think that, oh, well, the fair thing is to present both sides. So if we're going to say scientists are saying global warming is a big problem, we should present the other side. And there's some people over here that deny that it's a big problem. That's not the way to frame the debate, really. Okay, because such a huge percentage of the people who have any knowledge about this, any subject matter expertise, agree that it's happening, that it doesn't make sense to put a global warming denier on the other side. Now, if you want to put somebody on the other side who is, saying, I don't think that it's going to be, it's bad, it's going to be on the mild side. Now, that's where the scientific debate is what percentage are we likely to see of the increase that they anticipate? But the James Inhofs of the world, a U.S. senator, continues to say that global warming is a hoax. Now, when you listen to him and he carries through on the meaning of hoax, it's pretty clear what he's saying is the people that report this stuff don't really believe it. They have an agenda. So he's saying that the whole scientific endeavor is corrupt, and those scientists have an agenda. Yes, they do. They have an agenda to get published in the literature, and that does steer data a certain way. Okay, but what the Inhofs want you to believe, the Inhofs of the world want you to believe essentially that this is some kind of conspiracy and that scientists are skewing the data the way they want it to come out. It never happens that way. You cannot get away with that in science. Stephen Colbert reminded President Bush at the White House Correspondents' Dinner not to pay attention to the situation on the ground in Iraq, because as we all know, reality has a well-known liberal bias. Well, it's also true that science has a well-known liberal bias, and the bias is that it's empirically based. It doesn't work on supposition, and it doesn't work on dreams and wishes, and it doesn't work on, I think the world should work this way. It goes out and collects data, and then it reports back on how the world works. And so we get the theory of evolution because it's the best model that explains things. And I guess the other thing we should explain as we're talking a little bit of science here is that I hear people talk about the situation with evolution and science as though, you know, if there's a few pieces of data that don't fit the model and they can show anomalies in the record, and of course there are thousands of anomalies in the fossil record and in geological records, and there's plenty of things, there's gaps, there's things they can't explain, they haven't figured it all out. And people that don't understand science want to make the claim that somehow undermines the theory of evolution, that it means that evolution is wrong, as though anybody ever thought it was, you know, quote, right or 100% right, the truth. That's not how theory works. Theory is, the best way to put this is that a theory is a model, a structure in the world of ideas about how things work in the real world. And so a theory is just a model. It doesn't have to be, oh, this is true or this is false. It's not an on-off thing. It's not a black and white thing. A theory is either a good approximation or a poor approximation to the evidence. And it turns out that the theory of evolution is an extremely good approximation to the evidence. There are millions and millions of pieces of data that scientists have stitched together in kind of a mosaic that correspond to the predictions made by the theory of evolution. And that's what convinces them that the theory is correct, because the predictions from the theory are borne out in the data. Now, are there thousands of pieces of evidence that we don't have a place for them yet? Yeah. And so the doubters turn to that and say, oh, they don't know for sure. No, that's not how it works. You just have to have a little bit of intellectual curiosity, and by that I mean not have a closed mind. So let's go back to global warming. What's interesting is the science on global warming is essentially settled. Now, there are people out there that continue to interview this handful of experts that say, no, no, it's all wrong. But those, quote, experts have been undermined. First of all, they don't publish in the literature. The scientific literature, you can't, they self-publish their stuff. They can't get their stuff passed in peer-reviewed journals. So the whole peer review process is better than editors at a magazine or newspaper that make sure that you've got complete sentences and you got your facts straight. They make sure that your theory holds water and you aren't contradicted by other data that's out there in the thousands of other studies that have been done. Or they point that out, and then you have to fess up and say, well, this is different than what Johnson & Johnson found, and here's why we think it's different. You have to explain. You have to coordinate it with other data that's come in previously. You don't just get to say, I want to change the theory. So, needless to say, the intelligent design crowd in evolution or the anti-global warming crowd in that area of science, they aren't getting much published because they're just saying the current theory is wrong. They don't have one to substitute in its place. And you always got to have a theory. So anyway, climate change, it's hard to know exactly how this will play out. But what's interesting is that what happened was conservatives have hopped on Al Gore and made him global warming. Al Gore is not global warming. And people need to stop and think about this. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that for a minute. Repeat after me. Al Gore is not global warming.